Blog Talk Radio.
You'll be listening to Box Set here on GoldBoxMedia.com with your host.
If the laws of physics no longer apply in the future, God help you.
The oh-so-sexy cat.
Oh, my breath, they're really strong.
And the almighty bad.
It's simple. Just take the hydraulic phase shift emulator and attach it to the transdimensional proton particle emitter. Kaboom! New tower.
From the desert plains of Tatooine to the 2D grasslands of the Mushroom Kingdom, you are listening to Boxhead Radio here on CodeBoxMedia.com. I am your almighty host, Bazil Baz for short. And joining me in the e-virtual studio is the ever-so-lovely Kat. How you doing, Kat?
I'm good, Baz.
Excellent, excellent. I am so glad I came up with that intro because it just flows so much smoother. Unlike last week where we're like, hey, how's it going, everybody? So let us know what you guys thought of that. I actually spent 4.5 hours going, what's a cool, nerdy way to intro this show? And yeah, luckily my job allows me to sit on my butt for 4 hours and do nothing. So, woo! Yeah. But, moving right along here, if you wish to get in contact with the show, please email us at boxheads@codeboxmedia.com. Follow us on Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook at /codeboxmedia. We made it simple for you. Keep it simple, stupid is my phrase of the day, or kiss. Keep it simple, stupid. I love that. That's actually my boss's favorite.
I like that.
Yes, that's actually my supervisor's favorite word is kiss. Keep it simple, stupid.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah. So, how's your week been, Kat, and what have you been up to?
It's been slow. I've been doing a lot of gaming on Star Wars The Old Republic, but
you would be bold.
Yeah, it gets addicting there, and once something's addicting, that's it. You won't see me for a while.
Yeah. Excuse me, pardon me, coughing into the mic there. The Star Wars is just such a great game. We're going to be talking about that a little bit later on in the show. Other things we're going to be talking about, Soul Calibur coming to the iOS January 19th. I'm going to be talking about some things that just kind of pissed me off this week and was just kind of like a facepalm moment, if you will. Going to be talking about some indie games that I've been playing over the week and just other random stuff that we've been doing and keeping you guys entertained for a full hour, which is kind of scary.
Yeah. Hey, who wouldn't like to spend full hour with us?
Quite a few people, actually. Oh, my goodness. Should I have water before the show? Oh, well. Now, moving along here, the Star Wars expansion. Yeah. Hey, guys, Star Wars expansion is coming out, and this game's only been out for less than a month. Yeah.
Woohoo! More money.
Yeah, exactly. The first major patch for Star Wars The Old Republic is coming out. And, Kat, I know you were really excited about this, so why don't you take it away while I go get a glass of water.
Sure, that sounds good. And actually, I know we have a lot of Star Wars The Old Republic fans that listen to us, and you're probably playing the game right now while you're listening, and that's fine, too. I'm just a little bit jealous. But just kind of to go over, BioWare just unveiled their first game update for Star Wars The Old Republic, and it is called Rise of the Ratghouls. And if you guys have not been to Terrace yet, then you probably don't know what a Ratghoul is. So head on over to CodeBoxMedia.com, and we've got a bright picture up on there of a Ratghoul. But just 1 month after launch, and the fastest-growing subscription MMO in history, EA's BioWare and LucasArts are prepared to release the first game update for the critically acclaimed Star Wars The Old Republic, and it is launching next week on Tuesday, January 17th, and it's going to introduce quite a few new things. One of them is going to be a high-level group content game featuring additions and continued balance for bug fixes. Woo-hoo. Yay! Finally!
Yeah, seriously.
Let's see what kind of bug fixes they have, but as part of the community and the commitment to us, the players, BioWare is going to continue to release the game updates throughout the year on a regular basis. And the next big one is supposed to be planned for March of 2012.
Excellent.
And it's going to include new flashpoints, operations, and war zones.
That's awesome. That's very good. Very good indeed.
definitely. For just a kind of an overview of what's going to be hitting us in the ass here, we're going to see a flashpoint called Kaon Under Siege. It's a completely new and unique group combat experience located on Kaon. It's the planet in the Tian Hegemony. Am I saying that right?
Hegemony. Who cares?
Hegemony.
It's Star Wars. Everyone has stupid names that are 15 syllables long. Hello,
It groups up to four Republic or Imperial players. They must race to Kaon to eliminate the Rat Ghoul's outbreak, securing the allegiance of the Tian for their respective sides. And this flashpoint will be available for level 50 characters only and will feature new and heroic modes.
Nice. Very
yeah,
cool.
This one, yes, finally we can get some of these level 50s out of our PvP because I'm getting my ass kicked.
Well, you know, that's another thing they're introducing into the next patch is level 50s are going to have their own bracket.
Yes.
It's just so wonderful because as some of you guys know, I work graveyard shift and I'm up all night when I have my days off. Mm-hmm. So, you know, leveling is fun, but honestly, I'm level 47 now, and the last three levels are just like, okay, come on, let's get here, let's just...
Right.
But it's one of those things where PvP is a nice break, and space combat for me is fun, but, you know, honestly, I have Star Fox and Rogue Squadron and stuff that I play still, so until space combat becomes a little bit more dynamic, a little bit more free-forming... Who knows? It may never be, and that's fine. But I don't see a benefit to space combat other than just extra XP. And
right.
It's honestly, it gets boring after a while. Like the daily.
Oh, yeah.
The daily, it's like, okay, cool. I've done this mission 45 times.
Right, right. And I get vertigo pretty bad. So if I'm on there for too long and I'm doing those space combats, that's it. I'm going to fall out of my damn seat. So I've got to get up and move my damn eyes around.
Nice, nice.
Right,
can
but
you hear
it,
okay, I actually changed my mic levels here.
I can hear you good. Yep.
Good, good. Because Skype has a awesome trouble of boosting my mic, clicking my mic boost, and I found out last week's show I was clipping up the butt, so it's like we're gonna turn that off. I actually just remembered as the show went live, so I was like, oh, okay, oh well, moving on. And the new expansion. Calling the expansion, holy crap! The new patch, the major patch sounds awesome. I really am looking forward to it. Really, really, really looking forward to it. Go ahead.
One of the one thing that I'm really looking forward to is their operation.
Yeah,
they have that new operation that's coming as well, the Karagas Palace.
Mm-hmm.
And that one for teams up to 8 or 16 players, which is good because our guild is pretty big. We've got over 150 players, so getting those the flashpoints with four people is nice. But when you've got a bunch of people together, it's nice to do something that requires 8 to 6 players. 16
oh yeah,
players.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
I would definitely agree.
Yeah, so that one we're looking forward to as well. So I'm really psyched about this new patch.
Me too, me too. Has your guild been able to get into any of the operations yet? What level is your guild? Like, what level are you? How has your experience in the game been so far?
So far, so good. We're actually, our average is about 35, 40.
Okay.
We do have a couple of 50s right now, but at this point, they're, they're just kind of going back to the other planets they've missed.
Right, right.
Because the thing that I found out is that you get to a planet, you do all these quests. By the time you are, of high enough level, everything on that planet is gray to you.
Yeah, yeah.
So you move on to the next planet, or you're not completing that planet. You're going to another one in order to get the XP bonuses.
Yeah, it's, how can I put this? The game is very, very good as it kind of puts you in the correct leveling line and pattern. And I think maybe that's where people kind of go, oh, it's linear. It just tells you what planet to go to. Okay, well, yeah, but I mean, you can go to Ilium if you want or Tatooine if you want when you're level 10, but you're going to get butt raped. So, I mean, like, World of Warcraft has done that. Like, every MMO is technically, quote-unquote, linear when they tell you, hey, this is the zone you have to be in, or, hey, go to this planet again for this quest and then come back. So, I don't know. I just...
That's right. That's right. Well, you know, and that's the thing is we did a couple of world bosses the other night, and some of the guildies were a little bit lower level, but we still dragged them along. You know, they're able to get there. Of course, you know, they got ass raped, and then, you know, they were just kind of like, oh, give me the lube. Oh, my goodness. But, you know, we enjoyed filming that. So we brought them along with us, and we ended up killing some of the world bosses on higher level planets just to kind of give us a break, because the grind fest has been kind of hitting us once you reach that 30, 40, 40 level.
Yeah, yeah. And for those of you who are wondering, she said loot, not lube. I was like, I kind of did a double take there. I was like, did she just say, no, she said loot. Okay. I was just like, wow, okay. Anyway, world bosses. That is something I actually did want to kind of touch on a little bit. World bosses is such a great idea. I think they really do world bosses really well, because each planet has one, two, or three of them. And they're not just, hey, here's Deathwalker, like in World of Warcraft, go kill him. It's, you know, you have to find him, maybe click on a dead Jedi corpse or a skull, like in Tatooine. And, you know, the boss gets summoned or flies down or burrows up from the ground or whatever. So the world bosses is awesome. I've only killed one, and that's on Tartarus. And as far as mechanics go, how have you viewed them? Like, have they been pretty easy? Have some of them just been kind of, okay, what is this? Why is this so hard? What have they been to your guild?
You know, and this is coming from a tank perspective, because I play a power tech. And I found that there really is no strategy with it, because you know how, like, in a lot of the MMOs, and I'll give World of Warcraft for an example, because everybody's pretty much played that. Basically, you have your tank, and you have your healing, and then you have your DPS that dishes the damage, and the tank pretty much holds the aggro. You know, as a tank in this game, it's very hard to taunt. There really is no, let's, you know, click this button and then it taunts it off the player. It's more of an aura type. So, you know, I have to have my ion gas cylinders up in order to gain that. But it's also taunting depending on my damage. So damage makes a big difference. You know, my gas cylinder has to go off in order for him to be taunted. So that means I have to be hitting him.
Okay.
So, yeah, so that's how the taunts kind of work for, you know, for the power techs, per se. And as well for any other tanks, there's no really big taunt, you know, button that we push, as we see in World of Warcraft. So there really is no strategy. It's, you know, one, if he's off of me, the healers just have to turn to the person that he's on and make sure that they're healing him.
Right,
and then,
right.
And so forth. And it actually makes it kind of fun, because it's not okay, he's on me, just keep him on me, and I'm face rolling the damn keyboard, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It's a lot more having to do with the old school mechanic of you know, EverQuest and World of Warcraft when vanilla was out, was aggro control.
Right.
And oh my gosh, I actually have not played a tank for that sole reason, because people are stupid.
Right.
As a healer, my primary class has always been the assassin or the rogue type of class, and then I've always played tanks and healers. So usually, because I lead the raids for my guild, so I like to kind of go, okay, well, this is what all the roles need to do, so I kind of have a little bit general idea of what people actually do in that situation. So, excuse me, oh my goodness. So the reason that I think I have not really tanked in this game yet is because I think I'm waiting on people to kind of understand the mechanic better, so I don't not enjoy my class.
Right.
I have a Sith Inquisitor who's going to be an assassin. That's the advanced class. And right now, my primary class is my operative. He is a... bloody hell, what is that advanced class? I'm drawing a blank. Holy crap. The operative, there we go. The operative is the rogue slash healer. So the operative is a very good single target healing class. A lot of people think he's more AoE because he has a lot of dots in his higher tier talent, which is the very end. Is, well, you know, all the healers have a tier talent that does an AoE effect. But
right.
his is better fit for a tank because he can heal the melee as well and just kind of singly heal one target. So, go ahead.
How do you feel about healing with the agent?
It needs work. His heals are amazing. He does a lot of really, really good single target heals. But as far as energy control, it's there, but either diagnostic scan needs to be castable while moving, or it needs to heal better, because at level 50, it only heals like 300 some over 3 seconds. And
right.
You're like, that does nothing. That's like, mm-hmm. that's like stuff that level 2s were hitting you for. So diagnostic scan is pretty much a useless talent unless you're low on energy, and then there's a talent that increases your critical strike rating by 24%. And then the next tier above that is you gain, I think it's 2 or 4 energy every time it criticals. So if you crit all 3 times, you get X amount of energy back. And it's useful mm-hmm. for that, but honestly, it's energy. Like, if you get low on energy, you're screwed. Because you're stuck there mashing your diagnostic scan for 10 seconds, and then your target's pretty much almost all dead.
Right, right.
So, yeah, it needs a lot of work. I healed the Sith with the Sith Inquisitor during beta, and it was just blasted terrible, and I have not touched it since then. I've heard it's gotten better since live, but that's my take on healing right now.
Right. I've also noticed with the healing being a tank that a lot of the heroics and flashpoints that we've been doing, it takes a lot of CC. It really does take a lot of strategy because there's just and me getting pounded and then the DPS getting pounded and everything. It's hard for the healers to, it's not like, wow, you don't just one click and then you have a mod that, a healbot mod that tells you to, okay, just heal them up. It really is, it takes strategy.
Yeah, yeah. I would definitely wholeheartedly agree. It's, for Flashpoint especially, yeah, you're right. CC is definitely a key factor, which is good because that really kind of takes you back to the old school roots of MMO style combat. It's, okay, more tactical. It's not just, hey, let's pull the whole instance on heroic and pull everything and lulls it down together. I mean, that's what pretty much WoW ended up being. Oh, yeah, I'm a tank paladin in tier 8 gear, fully buffed, and I can just go, okay, I'm going to pull this whole instance for you, and you're just going to AoE it down.
Yeah.
I mean, my guild was able to do 3 or 4 heroics in 30 minutes. And we're just like, oh, okay, that was really boring. I mean, so, WoW for us just got more of a It got more of a chore than something. Oh, hey, this is fun. Let's go kill Ragnaros. So
that's
yeah,
that's right.
Nostalgia just doesn't cut it.
Right, right. And in this game, I believe with Star Wars: The Old Republic, guilds are going to be more selective on who they choose for their membership because they're not going to want somebody who just runs in there. They're going to want somebody who can strategize and CC and be patient enough to wait.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. It is definitely one of these games where you really got to kind of watch who you are bringing into your raid group, your guild, your flashpoint, especially if you are a end game focused guild. You can't just have some idiot who's like, I'm awesome because I'm a Jedi and I have a lightsaber. I mean, you can't carry people in this game. It's just, it's not possible. If one person slacks off, you're not going to kill the boss. Plain and simple. Even on Black Temple, which is the very first instance you're going to run, and I'm going to call it instance because that's what it bloody is. Flashpoint. Stupid. I understand they're trying to change the names of things to make it sound more Star Wars-y, but it's an instance. Sure. Anyway. But I mean, yeah, I mean, Black Temple, oh my gosh. Black
Temple. There
Talon.
You go.
There we go. I've been calling it Black Temple the whole time. It's okay. They have been, it's been configured for 2 people, but, only got 2 people in there. If one person messes up, you're going to get kind of screwed. So it's really, you really got to kind of concentrate and just kind of be more aware of what you're doing, and not just, oh, let's pull the whole instance. You do that, go ahead, you email me, tell me how that goes for you. Anyway, so yeah, that is really the experience of a lot of the flashpoints and stuff so far for both me and Kat, honestly. I would definitely agree with her on that. One last thing is performance. Have you had the pleasure of having all these lack of performance issues or just terrible memory leak problems?
It's actually been a horrendous experience. I mean, it's, you know, and I love BioWare, and I know things will get fixed and everything, and, you know, I'm trying to be very patient with that. And I think I'm more patient now because I'm not paying for the game per month right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but afterwards, you know, give me about 3 months, and if I've been paying for 3 months and things are still pretty bad, it's gonna eat at me. You know?
Oh yeah,
I'm not gonna say it's enough for me to leave, but it's gonna eat at me.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. It's one of those things where, okay, fix it already, please.
Right. I mean, that's performance is going to be a big thing. I know that. I'm going to be upgrading my system here in February, specifically because of these performance issues, and I'm hoping that, you know, that may fix a little bit. But in the long run, and a lot of people, you know, probably understand this, is it's going to come down to them and how they have to fix some issues that need to get done. I mean, I'm glad that they're putting in this new patch, for instance, you know, with the new flashpoints and, you know, level 50 content and stuff, but they've got some other issues they need to kind of worry about first.
No, they do. I was actually kind of disappointed while reading the patch notes of the first major patch and going, okay, where's all the performance issues and stuff? I mean, come on. I guess I'm a little concerned and worried, I guess, that BioWare kind of didn't address the, like, they know about it. They have said that they know about it and they're working on it. And, you know, I understand that it does take quite a long time to fix coding issues and that kind of stuff because, you know, it all it takes is one little symbol or number or letter to be out of place and the entire coding string just gets out of whack. So I get that. I do. But at the same time, if they want to keep their customers, they're going to have to get on the ball quickly or they're really not going to do well.
Right.
I mean, that being said, game's awesome. Such an amazing game. BioWare has done a phenomenal job. Actually, there was a turning point in my story that I just got to last night where I was like, whoa, where'd that come from? Whoa! So I was just like, okay, that was cool. And spoiler alert, guys, I can't actually use one of my companions now because they captured her. And I was like, oh! And, of course, it was one I've been using since level one. And I was like, oh. So I actually had to go spend 150K on the auction house to gear out one of my other companions to use. So that was a little...
Do a fight without the companion? Is that the cutscene I'm thinking of? Where they capture her and then you have to fight by yourself?
Yeah, well, they take her away. You know what? Honestly, I don't care if I spoil the story for you guys. At some point on Chapter 3, Kalo gets taken away, and they kind of are like, yeah, you've been court-martialed or something for her. Like, I guess the people that were trying to stop, like, disassembled everything that we were working towards, and they're like, oh, blah, blah, blah. So it's actually a little bit more complicated than that, and too hard to explain on a radio show. But bottom line is Kalo, who's my main companion and the one I'm trying to, you know, get full affection with, they took away. So I was like, damn it.
Yeah, that's actually probably hurting you pretty bad because Kalo is the one that you get first.
Yeah.
And then,
yeah.
I mean, you're spending all that time trying to get her faction up and then, you know, and gearing her out. And all of a sudden, you know, she's taken away and you're like, holy shit.
Yeah. Yeah, honestly, it sucks.
I thought I was badass. Now I can't fight.
Yeah, honestly, it kind of sucks. But, you know, honestly, it's also a good thing because I went back to leveling as a healer. So now I am just kind of – I have all my entire raid set for healing picked out now. So all my talents are raid focused, and it's me and Victor rule the world now.
He looks pretty badass too.
Actually, Victor is a super awesome DPS person. There have been a couple times where I was like, "Come on, kill him! Hurry up! I'm running out of energy."
Who's Victor? What's his?
Victor is a melee light armor DPS.
Oh, okay.
I think I'm in the process of getting my very last companion after Scorpio, but I don't know. I think Scorpio is my last companion, which is a weird droid. Honestly, I don't really like any of my companions other than Victor and Kalo because, yeah, the smaller ones are 10 times better. I mean, you get a freaking spooky. Guys, you're jerks. But I tried using Dr. Loken, and he's a healer. Freaking useless POS.
Really?
Dumb as a box of rocks.
Try to, like, gear him out or anything to see how his...
I did. I've blown, like, 300,000 on my companions just trying to test him out. And, I mean, money's so easy to come by. It's ridiculous.
Right.
But, like, you know, you do a week, 2 days worth of PvP, and you have 400K already. I mean, come on. It's ridiculous how fast money is to get in this game.
Yeah, it is.
But Dr. Loken is just so useless. Oh, my gosh. I was actually finishing up Voss, the last boss in Voss, killing this weird Jedi Master dude. And finally, I just, like, I was in Vent, and my guild was just laughing at me, because I was just like, screw this piece of mother bapity-bapity. Because he just wasn't healing me. Like, he just stood there for, like, 4 seconds going, you want me to heal you, or what? What's up? Just kind of like, God, what are you doing? He wasn't healing me, and I read later on that he's actually kind of bugged a little bit, so I was like, oh, great, that's wonderful. So I was like, screw it, I'm not going to worry about it. So, yeah, companion-wise, I don't like really any of my companions. What about yourself? I mean, you get a freaking Jawa, so you're probably happier than the rain.
Yeah, you know, the Jawa is awesome because, you know, you can... This little guy in this little, you know, little cloak area is shooting this big ass rocket, and it's really, really cool. But I have to say, Mako is my favorite. She's, you know, especially me being a tank, it's so easy for us to just go out there and just take things on, even elites that are 2 or 3 levels higher, because she's a healer and I'm a tank. And so, you know, it works out really well. And I pretty much, you know, geared her out everything in cunning, so that her heals are just phenomenal. But I also dressed her like this little slut, so she's really hot looking.
Yeah,
for all you guys.
I saw that.
I'm
I was like,
you.
Wow, that's so cat right there. I was like, oh, great. Hey, Mako, you're going to wear this skimpy Leia slave girl outfit? Well, I kill people. Yeah.
In one of the cutscenes, and here's a spoiler too, if you haven't gotten to this part, she's dressed in the entertainment outfit that you get from the security vendor.
You spent that much money on that?
I spent this much money, and then I geared it up, I modded it all up so that she's, you know, the armor is up to par with her level, and she's got all, she's blessed in all cunning and everything, so her healing is great. But, she asks me in one of the cutscenes how I make the armor that I'm wearing look so good. And I tell her that, you know, as a woman, we always make things look so good. All the armor we wear looks really good. And I think she was kind of hinting to me, boss, I really don't like this damn outfit. Get from me.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I really enjoy her.
That's pretty funny. That, wow. Yeah, you know, from from what I've heard, Mako is like the popular, super popular choice of all the bounty hunters. I find that it is a little frustrating, at least with my class, that the Imperial Agent doesn't really get a good lineup of companions. A lot of them are just all DPS and tanks.
Right.
And, like, the Sith Inquisitor gets a wonderful tank. Kem Val is just ridiculously OP tank-wise.
Exactly.
He's amazing. The Sith Warrior gets really, really neat companions. The Bounty Hunter, I think, probably gets one of the cooler companions. Smuggler, I'm a huge Wookiee fan, so the Smuggler, in my opinion, gets the best one. He gets frickin' Wookiee. So I feel that my class's companions could have been a little bit better. Leveling has been really frustrating. There has been a lot of times where I'm just like, okay, I kind of have to take a break. So I was just like, I'm too frustrated to continue because I can't kill this one person or this boss is not killing or is not dying because my companion's either not doing what they're supposed to or they're not really that helpful because I'm a certain spec and I want to level a certain spec, but I really can't because I don't have a healer with me. Or my tank really isn't that good of a tank.
Right.
So, I don't know. It's just...
Well, I've seen that problem with the agent, especially as a healing class. When you're taking the healing spec, you really should be given a companion like, you know, Kim, because he's a tank. You need... And just to stand there and heal your companion is just really repetitive.
It is. It is. You know, I also tried the droid healer, and he didn't really do anything either. He was more annoying than anything because he would say something every 5 seconds, and I'm like, okay, you're gone. I get enough of your kiss asking while I'm on the ship. Oh, master, I gave it a fresh coat of paint. Same color, only fresher. You know, he said that to me 4 times once. I'm like, wow, how thick is the paint now? A foot? Like, oh, my gosh, stop. I'm going to get high in my own room because there's so much paint fumes.
I think his favorite thing for me is, I've cleaned the ship from head to toe. You can smell the difference.
Yeah.
Really?
My assistant inquisitor droid offered to give me a foot massage for crying out loud. And I'm like, what? Okay, you're... whatever. Oh, well. Anyway, moving on from Star Wars talk. As you can tell, we are both goo goo for gaga over this, so... probably should tell you guys how to call in, too. I forgot about that. If you wish to call into the show, for those of you who are listening live, you can call via Skype, cell phone, or anything that actually allows you to dial out. The phone number here is 347-838-9713. 347-838-9713. We'd love to take your call.
Let us know about your characters, too. Some of the advantages, disadvantages, what you'd like to see of an improvement. And if we take your calls live on air or we like your call or your email so much, we'll send you out a nice little Boxheads T-shirt.
Yes, we will. But you do have to give us a kitten first. So
there you go.
Yeah. Kitten for the shirt. I think that's a fair trade.
I think so, too.
Yeah. All right, so moving on here, Kat, why don't you give us some of your articles that you have picked out for this week or topics that you would like to share with us?
Aside from the Star Wars The Old Republic, I want to make a mention out to some of our Xbox Live fans for Forza 4. Now, this is my son's favorite game, and it just got better. Forza 4 makes the world of automobile design a beautiful thing. And let me tell you, if you look at the pictures on our website, codeboxmedia.com, I will share with you in the drooling. Forza Motorsports is the highest-rated racing franchise of this generation. And the newest one came out in fall of 2011, Forza Motorsports 4. And now it's coming out with a new downloadable content just released this week is the January Jalopnik Pack. And this pack includes 10 cars for you to collect, race, and customize. The 20 – now, bear with me on these names because they're Italian and and I'm Asian, okay? So that just doesn't mix. But it's the 2012 Pagani Huayra. Okay.
Sure, that sounds right to me.
Call in and correct me, please. We have the Honda Civic, the Lamborghini, Gallardo, Lola, Fiat. I think it's called a Fiat.
Fiat, yep, Fiat.
Yeah, so that one's a nice one. But you can also get some in-game credits or car tokens required to purchase the cars. It is 105.90 megabytes in size, but it costs 560 Xbox credits. If you own Forza Motorsport Season Pass, you don't have to purchase the content, but you can review the trailer, and you can see some of the great picks. I have to tell you, these are gorgeous. It makes me wish that I had the money for this. But you can go to CodeBoxMedia.com and look at some of those fancy-looking cars.
Awesome. Actually, Forza is one of the only racing games I actually enjoy next to Gran Turismo. I think because it's so blasted realistic and the graphics are just, this is really pretty. I'm just going to watch the car crash into the wall for 45 minutes.
Oh, isn't it? It's insane.
Oh, my gosh. It's, I'm just like, holy crap, why does this look so awesome? Dang it.
Oh, it's beautiful. On a high-definition television, and you're just surrounded by it. It's gorgeous.
Yeah, I would wholeheartedly agree with that. It's a drool factor, honestly. It's one of those you're like, this is awesome, and you are going to play this now. So, even if you're not racing fans, guys, it's really worth your time and money. It really is, in my opinion. Now, I don't own an Xbox. I only have a Nintendo Wii, and I wish I owned an Xbox for this game because someone introduced it to me a couple months ago, actually, and was like, dude, have you seen this game? And I'm like, yeah, I've heard about it, but I don't like racing. I'm a Mario Kart guy. And he's like, oh, this is a great game. And I played it, and I was like, this is so cool. Because, it's not one of those cheesy, stupid ones that are like, hey, let's play Blur or something. Like, my wife loves Blur, but I hate that game. Because the driving mechanics are just blasted awful. But in Forza, it's realistic. Like, I can actually drift properly. And
right.
I love that.
Very smooth.
Yeah, very smooth, very smooth. So I would definitely pick up this DLC. It's so worth it. So worth it.
It definitely is. And just to kind of go over something else that some of our Rift fans, if you have or you are still playing Rift in between your time of Star Wars The Old Republic, because I know a lot of people have transferred over from Rift as well, they have Rift 1.7 coming out, the Carnival of the Ascended. It brings improvements across the board for high-level Ascended characters. PvP is smoother, more advanced. You get better rewards. You get weddings, okay? You get to have your eternal soulmate.
Oh, geez.
And in your weddings, I'm telling you. And River of Souls Chronicle, Undead Adventures, new Master Mode dungeons, and an overhaul for end game. So if you're still playing Rift or if you think that you might play Rift, Rift 1.7 should be the way to go.
Wow. That's cool. I played Rift for a while, and it just, I don't know. It was one of
those... it has potential.
It does. It really does. And, if I can ever afford it, I would love to play Rift as well, along with Star Wars, because of their class system. That's one of the things that really just kind of drew me in. And I was like, this is really a good game.
Right.
And, it's a lot like Star Wars. It has a super great amount of potential. And, the developers at Rift are doing a phenomenal job trying to really kind of keep up with their fan base and say, okay, this is what our fans are looking for. How can we implement this into a game that is just super complicated? And, hats off to the Rift development people that you guys are doing a good job, so just kind of keep it up and stick with it. Definitely stick with it. So, anything else there, Kat?
Nope, that's all I had for right now. Anything else that we've been kind of our press releases that have been out are on the website. If anybody else wants to go take a look and find out some more of the news. And again, the Las Vegas electronic show was this week, so there's a lot of big news coming in, but won't be out until next week because everybody is over at the show.
Yeah, and that's actually perfect segue into this segment here. Speaking of the electronics show, have you been following this at all?
I have.
Good. That's good. That's kind of our job, I guess. I'm really disappointed in this year. It kind of is just like 2011 2.0. But there really isn't a lot of cool stuff out. I mean, yeah, you got Kinect for Windows, but I don't care about the Kinect. I never have, and I never will. I think it's a great idea, but it's a useless piece of technology right now, at least for the gamer that would be categorized as myself. It's definitely a good family game, family thing. It has a lot of really cool kids games and stuff like that. But honestly, what is the Kinect for Windows for? Like, the only thing I can think of is interactive porn. That's the first thing that comes to my head. I mean, it's just like, are you going to be able to, like, slap her boobs around or something? I don't know. It's like,
that would sell.
Unfortunately, it would sell very well. I mean, sex sells tremendously. I mean,
yes.
It's like, cool, I can do this. Woo! It's like, yeah, go ahead, basement dweller. They'll never need a girlfriend ever again.
They will never come out of their basement.
No, they won't. And I don't know. Am I wrong on this? Is this something that's maybe just a personal pet vendetta of mine? Do you feel that this year's show was just more of a okay, cool type of show, or did anything? I guess my question is, did anything stand out at you?
Actually, no. I've been receiving a lot of press releases regarding the show and what's been going on, and you know, there's some really great potential out there, and there's some really good companies out there, but it's nothing that is just, oh my goodness, I cannot wait for this.
Yeah.
You know, there really isn't. And I think, you know, it maybe has a lot to do with the way the economy is now. There's just nothing out there right now.
Yeah, I don't know. It's it was one of those things this year that I was disappointed in, because I know last year a lot of like really neat stuff was just kind of like, okay, these are some really cool tablets. Razer introduced, I believe that was last year, Razer introduced that one thing for World of Warcraft that could play games and stuff. I don't even remember what the hell that thing was called. But that was kind of cool. But yeah, there really wasn't a lot of stuff. And for those of you who don't know, Apple and Microsoft, this is their last year there.
Yep.
They are not going to be there at the show. So honestly, do you think that kind of makes the entire show just void? I mean, you know, no offense to the other technological companies out there, but Apple and Microsoft are the two big names out there. I mean, you know, Samsung, Toshiba, Panasonic, and just all those other smaller ones. Like, yeah, they're there, but do you think the show will continue to be a big deal now that those two major companies have pulled out?
Yes and no. I think, one, it opens up a lot of room for focusing on the younger generation and their
right.
ideals and some of their inventions in companies, the new entrepreneurs. I think they need to start focusing on some of that, because Microsoft and Apple have been around for a very long time.
Yeah.
I think they need to start focusing on the kids who are getting out of college and starting companies, you know, kind of like we are, like Boxheads. We focus on those type of people, and they have great potentials to be the next Microsoft or the next, you know, Apple.
Yeah.
So I think it opens up a lot of doors for them to bring in those companies without those companies feeling that they're going head-to-head with Microsoft or Apple. But in the long run, for these other companies such as Panasonic or Samsung or Sony, I think it does kind of play a downfall, because there's – the biggest name company is no longer going to be there. That it's, you know, that's why a lot of people were drawn to it, because
yeah.
of the big companies.
I agree. I definitely agree. And you know, I'm very hopeful about companies that are coming out and kind of saying, hey, look what we're doing this year. Because you know, last week we had 636 Studios on, and they were just a phenomenal company to interview, just kind of talk with. So, you know, there are companies out there that are going to be, you know, pushing the ball and making sure that technology and gaming and just kind of technological advancements in general just kind of keep going down the road it should be. So I mean, yeah, you are definitely right about it opening it up for the man, if you will. Moving along to some indie games that I've been playing the past couple weeks. One is called Shadow Era, which is an online trading card game. Have you heard about this, Kat, at all, or would you like to explain it in detail?
I have not heard of this.
Oh, okay, perfect. All right, so Shadow Era is like a trading card game, and I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory. You unlock cards through winning XP and gold. You can buy cards with gold, or you can spend real-life money on the cards. And big shout-out to the Archbishop Shriggs here at Codebox. He is our art guy. He actually gave me a $10 iTunes gift card to use on Shadow Era because he had no other use for it. He got all the cards he wanted. He's like, hey, you can use it. So thank you to him. Big shout-out to him.
Excellent.
Yeah, and I am building a rogue deck because, you know, that's who I am. I'm a sneaky person. And it is very, very well thought out. Honestly, it reminds me a lot of Magic the Gathering. And
I was going to ask that.
Yeah, and the original Pokemon TCG. It is simple, yet the strategies and the metagames in this game are actually pretty, pretty vague, fast. Wow. And, you know, the art style is really cool, although the artist kind of seems to be obsessed with half-naked women. No one can really blame him for that. But, I mean, some of them are just like, okay, that's a little over the top, but okay. And thankfully, most of my cards have clothed people in them. So that's always a nice non-distraction there. But, you know, I mean, Magic the Gathering had some questionable female characters in its arsenal as well. But for an indie game, this game's amazing. I mean, seriously, you can get all the cards you want for $10, and you can be done with it. And that's great, because it's a game that you don't have to spend a lot of money on. I mean, honestly, a trading card game that you can get most of the cards you want for $10 and be done with it, that's like a steal right there.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah, and they just released their physical cards. Those are coming out. I'm not sure where to actually buy them. They don't. I mean, indie companies, so they're not really. They don't have a lot of money. So I would definitely suggest supporting these guys and these women that are making this. I'm trying to remember the website here as I pull it up. It is ShadowEro.com. And what's cool is this is actually usable on all platforms, internet, your computer. You can actually download an app for your iPhone or Android. So you can actually take it wherever you go. All the accounts link up to one another. You just have one account that you use. So I can play at work. I can play on the road. I can play in a library, anywhere. Anywhere where there's a computer and a download feature or anything that you can actually use. But again, the internet, you can play Shadow Era. So I would definitely check them out.
This is all computerized, or they are coming out with the cards themselves? The cards.
They are actually coming out with the cards themselves as well. Right now, it is all digital. Everything that you collect and earn is on the interwebs, if you will. Going on their website here, I'm trying to find where you can buy the cards. I don't remember where they actually had it, but the cards range anywhere from like a $10 set to a $300 set. And what's really cool is they give you Shadow Crystals, which is the in-game currency to buy all the cards, when you purchase the physical cards themselves. So they're essentially losing money when you do this, because you're going to spend $10 and get $10 worth of physical cards, as well as $10 worth of Shadow Crystals, which you can buy booster packs and decks. And decks only cost 100 Shadow Crystals, and booster packs only cost 100 Shadow Crystals. So if you...
Hmm.
Yeah, I mean, the developers really understand that people don't have a lot of money these days. And they're like, hey, you know what? Let's make most of these cards pretty easy to get. A lot of the hero cards are all in the decks already. You are going to have to play a lot to get a lot of the epics and rare cards. Now, they do come in booster packs, but I've only gotten one... a couple of rares. Each booster pack does come with a rare or an epic. And it's great. It's such a fun game, and you know, like I'll play it while I'm waiting for PvP queue to pop, and you know, you can play a couple games in like 30 minutes. So it's a really great game. I would highly check them out. ShadowEra.com. Definitely check them out.
Yeah, I'll have to do that. I'm a really big Magic the Gathering fan.
Yeah, me too.
I've been playing for so long now, and you know, since 15 years now, and I really enjoy the game, and now that my son is getting older, he's, you know, 10, it's just one of those traditions where it's so nice to be able to teach him how to play, and then, you know, and sit down and just have a nice little family game of Magic the Gathering. So we're always looking for new games like this, and this looks really, really interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool because in Magic, you have to gain mana. And, you know, but you do that by sacrificing cards and stuff, if I remember correctly. I haven't played that game in, like, 10 years. Mainly due because I don't have my collection anymore. I actually gave it to a buddy who wanted to start it. And I'm like, you know what, I don't play it anymore. You can have my collection. That's fine. So I'll probably have to hunt him down and kill him for him.
Yeah, there's some probably pretty expensive cards in there.
Probably, but you know, honestly, I think that eventually I want to start collecting the cards again because it would be cool to, you know, start playing the game again. But for now, like I said, Shadow Era is a lot like Magic the Gathering. A lot of the rules are similar. A lot of the simplistic nature of a TCG from Pokemon is also instilled in here. So I kind of like to think that Pokemon and Magic the Gathering kind of had babies, and this is what Shadow Era is. So.
Nice.
Yeah. Moving on from that to a, not necessarily an indie game, but Soul Calibur is going to come to the iOS platform January 19th. This is cool for me because I'm a huge Soul Calibur fan. It is one of the only street, quote-unquote, Street Fighter-style games that I actually enjoy playing, mainly because it's more of my style. I like the art style a lot better than more of the realistic type of stuff that we have with Street Fighter 4 and, you know, Marvel vs. Capcom and stuff like that. I never really enjoyed those games. I'm not sure why. I don't like button masher games at all.
Really?
No, people say it takes tons of skill to play these, and I call a load of crap on that. Because every time I go over to a couple buddies' house, we have a couple tournaments, like Super Smash Brothers, Mario Kart. We'll break out our 64 and play 007 for a couple hours. And then the last game that we always play is the original Street Fighter, mainly because it's just fun and we're all terrible at it. But our one buddy is like this huge Street Fighter nerd, and he's like the best player I've ever seen. Obviously, there's better players, and I always end up beating him. Not to brag. And I don't know why. I just always end up beating this guy.
It's,
and he's like, how? He's
like,
I'm just like, dude, watch this. And I just go, and I just mash buttons. I'm just like, cool, I win. And he's like, what the? Yeah. It's like, there's no skill in this game. He just, and, you know, I'm sure all these Street Fighter fans and people that are listening are screaming at me, you don't know what you're talking about. This game is so skill. No, it's not. Shut up. It's not skill-based at all. I mean, I appreciate it. I appreciate the people that put time into it, and I appreciate the people that are really into this game competitively. But, I mean, StarCraft II is a skill-based game.
Right.
I mean, I'm not going to get into that discussion because that's a whole bag of Wheaties in and of itself. So, I am all out of topics for this week. It's been a light week, unfortunately. I was honestly hoping to talk more about the Electronics Show, but after following it, I was like, you know, okay, cool, whatever, not impressed. Gaming news, kind of lackluster. I mean, there's a couple of things that are out kind of cool, but honestly, don't really care about them, and not really worth mentioning on the show. But, of course, you know, again, all of our press releases and big ticket name news and stuff from indie developers and anything else that comes out, we're always going to be on CodeBoxMedia.com. Let's see. Kat, closing words, thoughts, comments, opinions?
Actually, yes, we're having a contest this week.
Oh,
if
right.
If our subscribers, actually, if our listeners want to head over to our website and subscribe to the CodeBox Media newsletter, then you will be up to winning a Mass Effect 3 iPhone cover. So head on over to codeboxmedia.com and subscribe to the newsletter if you have not already. If you do, then you're already entered into the contest.
All right, so I'm going to get my brother and his friends to subscribe for me to the newsletter, and I'll win it. Awesome. All right. So you guys have to compete with me and my cheating nastiness. No, I'm just kidding. I won't do that.
You better do it now.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, guys, the case looks amazing. It's a very beautiful case. And if you're a Mass Effect junkie like Kat is, you know, this is a must-have for, oh, I got to collect it because it's Mass Effect.
Yes, this is actually very, very difficult for me to
weigh.
So if you are a Mass Effect fan, you better do some serious ass-kissing to Kat.
Yeah, that sounds something, but it shouldn't happen. Because let's rephrase that. You guys better suck up to Kat. There we go. That sounds less innuendo, but then again,
right. Hey, you know, my breasts are really strong.
That's true. That's, you know, I don't know that in a personal sense, but I'm sure your husband does. So we'll just leave it at that, and we'll just move on to a different topic because this has already gone way downhill from what I was hoping it would go down. So. Anyway, guys, the contest, again, is subscribe to the newsletter, and you will be in the running for a Mass Effect iPhone case that is just the iPhone. If you can fit it on your other phones, great. I mean, that's cool, but it's probably going to look a little weird since the iPhone is one-of-a-kind shape. It's a very rounded square rectangle. It's not a rectangle.
Rounded square rectangle.
Yep. Yep, that is what my mind came up with when I was looking at my iPhone just now. I'm like, it's a rounded square rectangle thing. Sure, why not? Yeah. So, the last couple minutes of the show is going to be talking about how to get in contact with us. If you wish to email me or Kat, very simple. It's just baz@codeboxmedia.com or kat@codeboxmedia.com. Very easy. How do sponsors and people that want interviews and anything else Codebox PR related can get in contact with you, Kat? Why don't you explain that a little bit?
Yeah, actually, we are very interested in new developers, aspiring game developers. If your company is computer related or technology related, if you have something worth sharing, we would love to hear from you, and we would love to give you the opportunity to kind of spread your development around to our listeners as well. So be sure to contact me, kat@codeboxmedia.com. And Baz and I will look over what you've got and see if it's geeky enough to put up in front of our real demanding audience.
Oh, yes, definitely. And I'm always looking for directors for the YouTube channel. That is a slow work in progress on content. Just email me, baz@codeboxmedia.com, and just kind of say, hey, this is what I have to offer, this is what I can do. I do require you to have a good type of computer that can actually render stuff, and I don't want it to look like crap. So I am going to be picky about that. I do want you to have maybe Adobe. That would be nice, since that's the best formatting program. But if not, and you know how to work Windows Movie Maker or something that's less professional, that's fine too. So yeah, guys, this has been this week's show. I have had a blast. And yeah, I mean, that's the end of the show. So guys, closing words, Kat.
Just be sure to listen to us next week. We're going to be talking with Brisk Ice-T and the lead developers of the LucasArts application. And the week after that, we're going to be talking with Able Gamers. So remember, heaven is a woman, hell is a woman kicking your ass in PvP.
And remember, guys, complaining will get you everywhere. See you guys next week. You'll be listening to Boxset here on codeboxmedia.com.
with your host,